Welcome to Obesity, a Disease, the official Obesity Medicine Association podcast exploring the many facets of the disease of obesity. In this series of podcasts, we have carefully selected recent articles included in the latest version of the OMA Obesity Algorithm, which is a comprehensive review of obesity medicine that can be found at obesitymedicine.org. We then discuss this new science with obesity experts. I'm Mark Labriola, and in this episode, OMA Chief Science Officer Dr. Harold Bays interviews Dr. Krishna Dhanaparthi about a recent article about dietary fat intake and body weight. Obesity, a Disease podcast is brought to you by the Obesity Medicine Association, the clinical leader in obesity medicine.
Welcome to today's podcast of Article Review. We are so fortunate to have with us today Dr. Krishna Dhanaparthi. Krishna, why don't you tell the folks who you are and what you do?
Thanks, Harold. I live in the Atlanta, Georgia area. My background is family medicine. I've been practicing obesity medicine and functional medicine for the past 10 years.
Okay. And in a nutshell, I mean, my interpretation of functional medicine is patient-centered approach. Is that a pretty good characterization?
Yes, that's right, because every patient is different. That's one way of looking at it. But we also look at the root cause of what's causing a chronic condition.
Okay. Well, that actually goes to exactly to the topic, the article we're going to talk about. This is an article that was published in Nutrients in 2018. And the name of the article is Quality of Dietary Fat Intake and Body Weight and Obesity in a Mediterranean Population, Secondary Analyses within the PREDIMED trial. And I think the basis of this study was the fact that a moderately high-fat Mediterranean diet does not seem to generate or promote weight gain. And so this study aimed to investigate the association between dietary intake of specific types of fats, dietary fats and such, and its relationship to body weight. And what they found is if you replace proteins with monounsaturated fats or polyunsaturated fats, in fact, it decreased the odds of becoming, of developing the obesity. So that, for a lot of folks, that's sort of counterintuitive. So, Krishna, I got to ask you, what's your take on this?
It's a good article. It's well designed. I like it. The results are appropriate. But it really leaves out the idea of what we're talking about and the confusion around fats and fatty acids. And really, fats should be called, what we say in the medical terms, fatty acids. And where the idea that if you can just substitute monounsaturated and polyunsaturated fats and leave out the topic of saturated fats, I think we're doing a disservice on the medical physiology side.
Okay, see, well, we're not just leaving that out, we're also leaving out carbohydrates too, right? I mean, it's everything, isn't it?
Well, yes, and my answers typically are not my opinion, of course, or not necessarily research. I always try to focus on medical physiology. When you look at cell composition, you know, a cell, any individual cell, is about 55% water. Well, what's the remaining 45%? Well, almost half of it is divided between amino acids and fatty acids. And then there's a very little left for minerals and vitamins. And really, the cell is only composed of 2% of carbohydrates. So it's a very small amount.
Right. And I think most folks know, but you know, maybe just as a refresher, when you consume certain types of fats or fatty acids within the diet, that ends up being reflected in how it is that it can be measured within the body and particularly within adipose tissue. Am I right about that?
You're absolutely, again, you're correct. The adipocyte is really just a place to store triglycerides and maybe a little bit of cholesterol esters. But really, the rest of the cell, when we talk about, again, fats and fatty acids, there's over 40 different kinds in the human body that make up the cell composition. So we're going to focus on only two kinds is a little unfair.
Right. And it isn't, and it seems to me it isn't, we shouldn't just only be focused on the types of fats or even carbohydrates for that matter. A lot of times it has to do with how do the consumption of these macronutrients, how does that affect your body weight? Sometimes that seems to be left out of the equation, right? I think there's a very big difference in how it is that a dietary intervention is going to affect someone depending upon whether weight is gained or weight is lost. Am I right?
Yes, you're right. But then we really also need to talk about what is the typical American diet? Unfortunately, because of technology, because of food industry, we have lots and lots of either processed or ultra-processed fats and oils. And that's problematic because those never existed in nature before until we introduced them, we consumed them, and then we wonder what's going on with the human body. Why are we having things like insulin resistance or cardiovascular disease and so on?
Right. I think some of the processing was with a good intention, you know, pasteurization and such to avoid bacteria. And when you could think olive oil is really processed, it's coming from the olives and such. But boy, that is far removed from the ultra processing, which I think is the word that you use. The ultra processing that results in these quick snacks and such that can wreak havoc in all kinds of ways with regard to the body physiology, which I think is what I'm hearing from you is what matters.
I think you and I probably can agree that a lot of chronic conditions are focused around the inflammation, the oxidation that goes on in the human body. And when you go back to natural oils, like this study is kind of focusing on, or a natural type of nutrition like the Mediterranean diet would be, that is not so processed, that is more natural, I would naturally see a good response. And that's what the study seems to show. But that's not what's going on. I mean, so we're now focusing on changing the diet that is more in line with human physiology and cell physiology, really.
Well, then, so from a very practical standpoint, you have a clinician out there. The next patient they see maybe has overweight and obesity. And this clinician has always heard that the only way that you can get the only appropriate way to get somebody to reduce their body fat would be through a low-fat diet. What do you say to that clinician? What do you say to that patient?
We shouldn't be talking about low-fat or medium-fat, if that's even the term, or high-fat.
Right. We get it.
So it really should be about proper macronutrients. Are we getting the proper fatty acids that's in line with cell physiology or not? We can look at lots of different articles and research, but it really goes back to the idea that are you getting the natural fatty acids as you're supposed to, or are you consuming fatty acids or fats that are not necessary for the human body? That's my approach.
Right. And, this isn't really part of this article or whatever, but, there are a lot of folks, I was reading an article about this the other day, a lot of folks in India who are vegetarians and such, and yet obesity is increased and the risk of heart disease is increased and such, and they're avoiding meat. You're like, how can this be? It's because if you're replacing meats and such with poor nutrition with other macronutrients, you've done no good for yourself. But I mean, is that right?
I think I'll have to agree with you, because if we suddenly replace one macronutrient with something that is overabundance in cell physiology, which is carbohydrates, it only accounts for 2% of the human body. So it's not a surprise at all that if you have excess carbohydrates, they got to go somewhere. And they go and get changed and made into triglycerides that guess what? Get stored in the adipocyte, or better known as fat.
Right. So I think there's a lot to be said for maybe circling back. And I think, as you said, looking at whole foods, avoiding most cases of ultra-processed foods, and then looking at the individual patient to determine which sort of macronutrient makes most sense for the individual patient.
I agree with you again. Tailored nutrition for the individual. I mean, there are different tastes, ethnic considerations, cultural considerations, absolutely. But at the end of the day, it has to be tailored.
Well, there you go. Patient-centered approach. Okay? All right. Well, Krista, thank you very much for being here. I think it's very interesting. Hopefully people got some perspective on the appropriate implementation of nutrition and dietary patterns. My name is Dr. Harold Bays, and you've been listening to the podcast from the Obesity Medicine Association.
Thank you, Dr. Bays and Donna Parthy. For more information about Obesity Medicine Podcast and other resources from the clinical leader in obesity medicine, please visit obesitymedicine.org/podcasts. Love this episode of Obesity, a Disease? Head over to iTunes to subscribe, rate, and leave a review. The views expressed in this podcast episode are those of the show hosts and do not necessarily represent the opinions, beliefs, or policies of the Obesity Medicine Association or its members. Please check back soon for another episode of Obesity, a Disease.